You're listening to the Choose to Be podcast with hosts Alana Gordon and Amy Woolsey. As you join us each week, we will provide you with tools, resources, and knowledge to help you navigate your healing journey. Choose recovery, choose healing, choose you.
Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thank you for joining our conversation today. We are so excited to have with us another one of our amazing coaches and therapists, Stacy Soames, joining our conversation today. Stacy is a licensed professional counselor and a coach, of course, specifically certified in betrayal trauma. But Stacy also has experienced divorce like I have and has that element to her experience as well that she brings to her coaching and to the work that she does with her clients. Stacy, I just realized you and I both left after 18 years.
Yeah. Almost 19. It was really close.
Mm-hmm. Almost 19. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. That's a long time.
It's a really long time.
But we battled it out. I mean, we fought for years. Like, I think about that and I'm asked that a lot. Are you disappointed that you stayed those extra years and then it ultimately didn't work out? And my answer is always no. I needed to learn a bunch of things. I wasn't ready at 15 years in. So there was a lot of growth that I needed to do to get to a place where I could move forward.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. And this isn't exactly what we're organically just having this conversation because this isn't what I was going to ask you to start off with. But what you just said right there just resonates and I can relate. And I think with that question that I get asked as well, of course, the answer is no, I don't regret it. I believe that like I left at exactly the right time. Mm-hmm. And I think that all of the women who are in those situations where they're giving it like that one last go. You know how that is? Like every single woman has to give like that one last chance. And even though on the outside and everyone looking in is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But there's something inside so many of us that just need one last go at it to finally be at peace with that decision. And you never know how long that takes. And I completely relate. And I so support women who just need to give it that one last hurrah, hurrah. And
honestly, I think that was something that I've pondered a lot upon is I made that decision knowing one day down the road, my little kids at the time who were 5 and 6, I wanted to be able to look them in the eyes. And when they asked me what happened, and I could say, look, guys, I fought until I couldn't fight anymore. I gave it my all. And there is peace that comes with knowing that you gave it everything you had.
Yeah. No, it's so true. Peace that you gave it everything you had. And then when you said, give it my all, even women who are not navigating divorce right now, I think this really applies where you just feel like you're giving everything. And there was, I'm going to pull this up really quick. There was this quote that I read from Jeff Strewer the other day. And I messaged him and I was like, I'm so copying and reposting this quote. And I really loved it. I'm just going to read it. He says, I admire your dedication to your marriage and recognize that staying in your marriage that long isn't always easy. At the same time, marriage does not have to be an endurance contest. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so, so true. And when I was thinking about that and my experience with women who are in this space of like, should I stay or should I go? I think at some point they need to ask themselves, like, did it giving everything I've got become giving everything I am?
Mm.
And I think there's a difference.
Oh, say that again, Amy.
At one point, did giving everything I've got become giving everything I am? And I think that's where when I decided to leave, because I had all of the energy and the strength to keep fighting. I'm a fighter. Women are fighters. We can do things like that's like, not a question, right? But when it started to dig into who I am, where I didn't know who that was anymore, My parents didn't even recognize me. I didn't recognize me. I was losing me at the core.
Yeah.
That's when I knew I had to get out.
Yeah. I think so many of us are taught you stick with it. You stick with it through the ups and the downs. And when you take a moment to reflect on, okay, well, what are ups and downs in a marriage? Ups and downs are financial issues and normal challenges that come with being married, health issues, death, I mean, grief, those types of things. But then there are also parts of a marriage that are not downs. Repetitive cheating is not a down. I can forgive, I can try, but if it's not getting better and all of a sudden my mental health is on the line and I'm being gaslit and manipulated over and over and over again, those are not the downs that I was going to stay for anymore. I have a very distinct memory of kind of the releasing, I guess, maybe that's what we'll refer to it as. But I had set a last and final boundary, a very firm one, where I had my husband at the time move upstairs. We had a third floor and we needed some space. And I moved all of his stuff up there. And this was kind of like, okay, I'm serious. Like, this is the last hurrah for me. And I was upstairs talking to him and things escalated and he was really angry and yelling at me. But I came down the stairs and I ran into my oldest son. And he looked at me and he goes, "Mom, it's okay. It's okay if you decide that you need to go." Mm. And that was a blow of all blows because I had been fighting and fighting for my children. Mm-hmm. I know that they were at the heart of everything that I was doing. And to have him say that as I think he was 16, he knew that I had fought. He knew that I had tried. And he was the one that just said, "It's okay, Mom. You can move on. This isn't quite healthy." Yeah. And that was a hinge point for me.
I have goosebumps.
I feel like this is where it can be really confusing for a lot of our clients because they don't know what healthy looks like.
Yeah.
What they've experienced in their marriage is often what they've experienced, not only the last however many years, but what they've known through their life. And so it is really interesting how, as you work with different clients, it's almost like these light bulbs come on. And it's almost like going through a house and we turn on this light switch and then this one and then this one. And then soon everything's lit up enough that they have clarity of what healthy actually looks like and feels like. And then they're able to really stand in their truth and make whatever decisions they need to make. But that in the beginning, like even sometimes Luke will come on the podcast or show up to one of my groups and I'll have women say like, "Is that really how he talks? Like, do men, like, can they actually think and talk like that?" And the answer is yes. But if that's so foreign to you and that's all, there's just such a process in coming to that awareness.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I literally just had a client who was in my Dating Within course and Scott comes and does a Q&A and we talk a little bit at the end. And she told me the day after, she's like, "I've had a complete switch in my thinking. I had watching you two communicate, but listening to him talk helped me realize I am not being talked to in a healthy, kind way. Like, I had no idea that that's actually a thing." So you're so right, Alana. And I love the analogy, that visual of the lights going on in the house. I can feel that in my own experience of just like that light goes on. And all of a sudden you're like illuminated and it's freeing. It's empowering. It's lighter. So I love that.
Walking with women in that space is the thing that makes me do this.
Like, I know. Right?
It really is. Yesterday, I was working with a client who she just flat out said, "I have known that there are things wrong in my marriage for a long time. And I know that I have deliberately ignored them. I knew there was a fire on the other side of the door. I could sense the heat, but I was always too afraid to go over and open the door." Mm-hmm. Well, I just suggested very casually, I love Tony Overbay's Waking Up to Narcissism podcast. And I said, "Will you please just listen to one of these and then come back. I know that narcissism is a trigger word. I know that for you, it brings up a lot of feelings for people, but would you just give it a try? And oh my gosh, she listened to 9 of them in the last week. And the ahas, those lights that were going off, that, oh my gosh, I have been mistreated the entirety of my marriage. Yeah. It's a humbling place to be with someone when they have those breakthroughs.
Yeah.
It's interesting because where my brain goes, because I know we have men who listen to our podcast too, that it can be really scary for them, the ones who are attempting. And I'll say there's all levels of attempting. And we have some who do not attempt, but it can be really scary. I remember with Luke, him being really scared of me getting stronger. And it was because of his own insecurities and because of his own stuff coming up. And that was honestly a good chunk of his therapy for a season of like, how do I let her get stronger? And so it's interesting because as I hear us having this conversation, I can see some listeners, men and women alike, having this like panic hearing this. But the truth is for a woman to turn on these lights, even if she is choosing to stay in her marriage, that gives an opportunity for a healthier relationship. We can't leave all the lights off and then just hope it will get healthy. So if he wants to figure it out and do the work, that means he's going to have to go start turning on some light switches too. It's something that they both have to do. And if he's not willing to do that or not willing to look at himself in that light, I hope she keeps getting stronger because that is the only way, if the relationship is ever to get where it needs to get, it starts with individuals. And if he's not willing to do the work and she turns off enough lights, on enough lights and goes, hey, I don't actually deserve to be treated like this. She is that much further along in her journey had she not chosen to turn on lights. And I use the word choose really deliberately because there is that betrayal blindness. That is that I know that there's a heat on the other side of the door and I'm scared to open it. So there is courage that takes to start opening up our eyes and seeing things.
Oh, yeah. Lots of courage.
I love that. So Stacey, then again, we just like dove into this conversation, which I love it when it's just so organic like that. But would you mind just sharing a little bit of who you are and how you became an LPC and coach?
Yeah.
Why you do what you do?
I'd love to. My story is probably really similar to a lot of others, but you know, 2016, I was living, I thought, the good life. We'd made it through. I supported my husband through law school. We had 5 beautiful kids. We bought a beautiful house. I mean, seriously, it was just the checklist. Everything's going great. We lived in a community that we loved the people. We loved our neighborhood. I was happy to a point. I could tell there was something missing. There was like the connection with my spouse was just off. And every time I would come to him and say, do you feel this? Do you sense this? I was told is never going to be good enough, or this is you. You've got to work through this. I don't know what you're talking about, that kind of stuff. And I did. I internalized that. It was like, this is me. This is my fault. I am asking for too much. What am I unhappy about? I had an opportunity to get away with some friends. We went to a conference for like 4 days. And at the time, right before I left, I had this thought that was like, gosh, I hope everybody misses me while I'm gone. I do everything around this house, everything. And I feel like I shoulder a lot. So I left and I came back after 4 days. I dropped my sweet friend off at her house and I watched as her husband came out, hugged her. Her kids were out working in the yard. There was a little sign that said, welcome home, mom. And I put my sunglasses on because I was tearing up. It was such a beautiful scene. I just thought, that is so awesome for her. Well, I walked into my house after being away, and the laundry that I had started 4 days ago was completely sour. The whole house smelled. I walked into my kitchen. It was a disaster. I had never seen it so bad. And that is not, I mean, that is just one small example, I guess, a visual of just how things were going in my life. If I'm being 100% honest, I collapsed to the floor and I started to pray, like, help me figure out what's going on in my life. Is it me? Have I not taught my family to appreciate me? What am I doing wrong? Well, I kid you not, within 3 days of getting home, I found out what was going on. And in a very traumatic way, I found out the truth of what was going on, which was that my husband had been unfaithful. There was a pornography problem that had been a part of this from the beginning that I did not know anything about. I was devastated. Like, I don't even know. I don't have the words. Those who walk this path know how that feels, but there really are no words. We were thrown into therapy immediately, and it was great because he seemed really dedicated to the process, and he was brokenhearted. He was repentant. He owned it all. I mean, there was never any, well, this is you. And it was never that way. And so I decided that I was going to fight. I'm feisty. My grandma, she says that to me all the time. You're feisty. And I'm like, I am. I own it. So we worked recovery for a long time. And unfortunately, there was some big fallout because of what had happened at my husband's workplace legally. We lost everything. He lost his job. We had to start over. So we left this community that I loved, that I had thrown my heart and soul into. And we went back home. We went back by my parents to the other side of the state, my siblings. I look at that now and I see that needed to happen. You know what I mean? Like, I needed that. I needed to be closer to my support system. Needless to say, we made it back. We continued in recovery and I felt awesome. Like, I had the marriage that I had always wanted. And I don't know about you guys, but I knew that when my husband was in recovery, I could see it in his eyes. Like, there was a change about him that allowed me to feel safe. He was doing the things. He was going to his meetings. He was doing all of it. Well, I got to a place one day where I was like, I want to help other people. I think I want to go back and get my master's degree. I feel strong enough. I'm in this good place. And so I built up my courage. I mean, there was a lot of self-doubt walking into that. Like, it's been 20 plus years. I'm not smart. I don't even know how to make a PowerPoint, all the thoughts. And I applied at a school that's near my house. A 3-hour application process. I had to go in for an interview and I was terrified. And guess what? I didn't get in. And I was like, all of those negative thoughts were so affirmed. I was like, see? You are dumb. See, what were you thinking? Why did you think that you could do this? And so I just set it aside. I had my meltdown and I moved on with life. About 3 months later, I woke up in the middle of the night with a very distinct impression. It's time to go back to school. And I was like, what? Why? I'm in a good place. I don't have to work. I'm so content being a stay-at-home mom. Like, my heart and soul were in that job. I never said I was just a stay-at-home mom. I embraced and loved that job. Gave it 100%. Anyway, I got up and applied to a few schools and I got into one. And I was like, oh my gosh, well, this is all online. Is this a smart move? Is counseling helpful if it's virtual like this? Those were the thoughts that I was having. And so I started going to school and it became my thing. It was mine. It was nobody else's. I had control over one thing. And I just hurled myself into it. I loved it. After a few months of being in school, though, I started to see those red flags again popping up in my marriage. I did. And it was heartbreaking because I knew what this meant. And so essentially, without even knowing the entirety of the story, because honestly, I'll never know. I'll never really know what happened. But I asked him some questions, and essentially it was, do you love me? And are you willing to work on your recovery? And the answer was, well, I love you as the mother of my children. and which I hear all the time with my clients. It's heartbreaking. And I'm tired and I don't want to do this anymore. That, along with catching him in lies and just seeing a lot of those manipulative behaviors come back, I was just like, I can't do this. Finding out about finances that he had, debt that he had racked up that I didn't know about, just lying about little things and huge things that directly impacted my life. And so, yeah, I made the decision. I remember driving to my parents' house and literally crawling up to their doorstep and just saying, I'm done. Too many blows. I've had too many blows. I can't get up again. I cannot do it. I have to take what I have left and I have to give this to my kids. And they were 100% supportive of that. It was a really rough process to get there. But my school, that's what I'm emphasizing, was my strength and my pillar. I was with these amazing people who were so supportive and encouraging. And I look back at that experience and I think, how would I have ever known that COVID was going to hit and that I was going to have to be remote at home in front of a computer all the time while raising 5 kids by myself? So it's such a good thing that I didn't get into that school that I thought for sure I was going to get into, but this was what I needed. And so, yeah, I went to school. I never stopped. Man, there were times I wanted to quit. Woo! Over and over again. This is too hard. This is crazy. But every day it was, what do I need to do today? What is the next right thing? That movie came out right when this was all happening for me. I sat in that movie theater and sobbed my eyes out because I was like, that's my life. Next right thing. One small step at a time. Because I went to school in clinical mental health, I had the opportunity to work with all sorts of populations, men, women, children, teenagers, all of the problems, major anxiety, depression that was associated with COVID and all of that. It was an awesome eye-opening experience. I'm grateful for that. But in my heart, the entire time, I knew where I belonged. And that was with the betrayed women and their partners who were fighting the fight that I had fought. And as much as I tried to like push myself and branch out and be open to counseling other people, it was better course than ever there. And so essentially that's when I just landed on, okay, fine. This is where I belong. This is where I'm supposed to be. And that's okay. I love it. Why should I try to force something else? But I definitely gave it a good try. So yeah, that's why I ended up as a counselor. I had a great opportunity to coach through school. I was over at Bloom for Women, which was awesome. I had a great opportunity to just throw myself into the work and learn. And I just was always thirsty for information and feeling empowered by walking alongside those that are doing this. So that's why I do what I do, essentially.
Mm-hmm. For all the time I've known you, I don't think I've heard your full story. I've heard little tidbits, but that's neat to hear your story. You made a comment before we hit record. You said that you get two main questions from women who come to you and ask these two questions. And I would love to know your thoughts on this. You said, how did you know it was okay to leave? Women will ask you that. And also, how did you know it's time?
Well, I knew it was time when, like I said, it just felt like I was doing this all by myself. I was tired. A relationship is two people working together towards a common goal. And I was the one that was pulling and pulling and pulling. And I just thought, this is not okay for me in any way, emotionally, physically, spiritually. I could just feel everything being sucked out of me. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Hiawatha Trail. It's in North Idaho. It's a beautiful bike ride. Okay. It's something that has always been on my bucket list. I'd always wanted to do it. When I was still on the fence with, should I move forward with divorce or not? I wanted to take my family up to this beautiful bike ride. It's an old railroad. There used to be a railroad tracks there, but they're all removed. And so you basically hop on a bike and it's all a very gradual downhill, a few mile ride, but it is spectacular. I mean, it is beautiful vistas. It is dark, scary tunnels that are like miles long. You have to have a headlamp and it's wet and cold and 45 degrees. So I wanted to do this with my family. And like I said, this was when I was really on the fence. I had noticed a lot of that manipulation tactics popping up, a lot of inconsistencies. I'd noticed some half-truths. My husband at the time had gone out of town and he claimed that his Find My Friends had just broken or something along those lines. And I was like, no, that doesn't just happen. I knew I was being gaslit. Anyway, before we started this bike ride, I gathered my little family around and I was like, okay, you guys, this is going to be such a cool experience. This is really symbolic of life. It really is. Like awesome times, times where the chain falls off our tire. There's these dark tunnels. And my husband at the time looked at me with disgust and he just said, why do you have to make such a big deal about things like this? Why do we have to turn something into something that it isn't? And I just was like, oh, that was a blow right in front of my kids. I had built this up to be this amazing thing. And then to be just belittled and minimized like that in front of my kids. We started this bike ride and my daughter was attached to me tandem behind me. She's like 6 years old at the time. And she was darling. She was back there. Mommy, you can do it. You're my hero, Mom. Keep going. She was this little voice that was just like, you got this, Mommy. You got this. And yeah, that bike ride became so much more symbolic in many ways in my life because we had to go through one last tunnel at the end and our chain fell off. So I was in this black, this dark place, mud everywhere, water dripping on us. I'm helping my daughter. I can barely see. And here comes my husband. And instead of stopping to help, he yelled at us, get out of the way. Get out of the way. You're going to cause an accident. And he rode right by us. And oh my gosh, I just like closed my eyes and I was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And yes, there's this great emotional reaction still, but it was also one of the most spiritual experiences I ever had. It was like, I heard the words, these thoughts, and it's okay to move on. It's all right. I knew right then and there, that was it for me. I'm done. I can't. I've got a little girl who's behind me who's saying, we can do this. And I don't think she even remembers that experience, but I will never forget it. I knew that I needed to start a different path. And it wasn't the ideal. Neither path is easy. And I think that is something that is really hard to wrap your mind around. To stay and fight is beautiful and it is brave and it is amazing because I believe in that. And I think the world tells us, hey, if you've been betrayed, you get out. That's what strong women do is they just leave. But that's what you think until it happens to you. That's a totally different experience, right?
Yeah.
And then to leave brings on a whole other host of challenges as well. And so it is. It's a very difficult, very personal decision that has its challenges, yeah, both sides of the road.
Yeah. But it's which path is going to lead you back to you.
Yes.
And that's the right decision right now, is which path is going to help me stay me and have that sense of well-being and health within myself. People can't see, but I have been tearing up hearing your story, and just, I usually do a really good job at putting my emotions on the shelf when I'm in a professional setting, but your story is just resonating and pulling up so many of my own memories and situations. And as when you talk with clients who go through these situations, it's interesting how similar our stories have in terms of the principles, right? They're all different, but there's so many truths in what we experience and what we go through along the journey. And it's just really resonating with me in so many ways. And something that you said that I just want to highlight, because I think this is so important with your experience writing and how you wanted to, I'm really trying hard here, and how you wanted to teach your children these principles of life, and how as a mom and a parent and a healthy human being looks for these opportunities in life to learn how to anchor to principles, true principles. And that's what you were giving these children an opportunity to do, right?
Absolutely.
And how this partner, so-called, in your life was resisting the true principles.
Yeah.
And that right there, right? How your body felt that resistance to truth, even in that situation. And I think that that, not only can I resonate with that, where all the times I'm trying to teach a principle of truth, and there's this resistance. I don't know, slow that down and highlight that, because I think that's important to watch for.
Yeah.
I really think that's something that gets missed.
I remember once I made the decision, I think there was a lot of frustration, anger, and resentment because that partner wasn't being partner. There was a, like I mentioned earlier with the house and just feeling like I was doing everything by myself. I noticed a very distinct difference when I made the decision to release him and let him go. And that didn't mean that my life was getting easier. I was still doing all the same things. I was still in charge of everything, but that resentment was gone because I knew that it was all on my shoulders, and I wasn't hoping and wishing and yelling at someone to join me anymore. It was like, okay, then I'm just going to do this by myself.
Yeah.
But it was freeing, and it felt so amazing. Freeing. Yeah.
It's like, I'll tell my clients, I'm like, you're still doing hard, but it's your hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not doing the hard of someone else's job in a partnership. And when you're not in that partnership, it all becomes your hard. And women know how to do hard. But it's that expectation, that healthy expectation of a partnership in that couple bubble that we release, like you said. And now it's like, all right, I got this. And we find other ways to figure it out and do the hard, and you're able to do it. That's the part that a lot of our clients don't see, right? It's like, I can't. You already are. You're already doing it. It's just, like you said, the release of the healthy expectation that your partner's going to contribute to that.
Yeah. So. Yep. And that the continual process of getting your hopes up that this time it's going to be different. This time it's going to change. But then you look back and you go, but these patterns are telling a different story over and over again.
Yeah.
But again, there was that period of time for a couple of years where it was good and he was showing up. And so I knew that it was possible. And I think that was one of the things that made it even harder to let go of, is knowing that he was capable.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. There's such power in patterns. Mm-hmm. That's something that I could just instill in all of my clients, all of the women who come through my groups, is learn how to see the patterns. Patterns don't lie. And sometimes we have to, within ourselves, take off layers of that betrayal blindness to be able to see those patterns. But that really gives us information. And then with those patterns, in which ways do we want to start stepping out of those? Because that's where our power lies.
I would love to ask Stacy, like, final thoughts for our listeners around post-traumatic growth, maybe, like, wherever they are, whether they're divorcing or choosing to stay. I'm sure a lot of women who are choosing to stay and fight the good fight can still resonate with everything that we're talking about today, right? So final thoughts on what maybe that individual growth might look like.
Yeah, it takes a lot of hard work to let go of some of those old thoughts, those old behaviors, those old ways in which we lived our lives. But when we start really working on some of the distinct areas where that are a result of this trauma that we've experienced, I see growth happen. I see an increased inner strength that can come. And it, honestly, a lot of the time, it's about digging in and remembering, what are your gifts? What are your innate qualities that maybe you've just forgotten in this journey? So really rediscovering who you really are, who is in there, who's been forgotten, maybe even abandoned. I think helping my clients see new possibilities. Sometimes it's really difficult to visualize anything beyond the day, the week. So going there with them, how would this look if it was ideal? Where do you want to be in a year from now? What would change? What are some things that you're going to need to do to get there? There's great power in being able to visualize and focus on that personal compass, or having a kind of a self mantra to get you there. So I think that's another area for sure. Just cultivating deeper relationships with people, friends, support is key. This whole experience of betrayal, trauma, man, a lot of us just want to run and hide. It's so much easier to hide behind this wall. I remember when I found out about my husband's addiction, I thought, oh my gosh, no one can know. My family can't know. My friends can't know. And I can shoulder this. I'm strong. Well, we all know what that looks like. 30 pounds lighter and not sleeping and in bed for 3 months. That's no way to live life. No way to live life. So instilling that desire to connect, to reach out, to get help, to talk about this in safe spaces. Gosh, that's one of, interestingly enough, last night I was leading a divorce support group, and that was one of the things that we talked about, was the benefit is reconnecting with people where some of those relationships have fallen to the wayside for whatever reason. Our husbands didn't like that person or whatever. When you go to group, you find new people. When you seek out support in a coach or a therapist, you've got people on your tribe. So important. And I see so much growth with reaching out. Trying to think of another one, but maybe just a stronger sense of appreciation for life, noticing the good amongst so much bad. I love having my clients focus on even the smallest of the good things. It's amazing how I look back on my story and my experience, and I can still see so many amazing tender mercies along the way, blessings that just couldn't have happened. I don't think any other way. Doors opening, opportunities presenting themselves, miracles everywhere. I can't minimize that. I have experienced it, I've witnessed it, and I know how afraid I was. If I go down this path, I'm going to do this alone. I'm terrified. What about my kids? What about? But taking a step into that mist and not really knowing how it was going to play out, I can reflect on it now. And I'm just like in awe of all of the blessings that have come. So.
A beautiful, powerful story. And I love you sharing just around that post-traumatic growth, because that gives hope. And so often, whether we stay, whether we go, life doesn't look the way that we pictured it would. That was a big piece of my own journey, is letting go of what I think tomorrow will look like, and a year from now, and 5 years from now, and how much freedom that brings, but how terrifying that whole process was. And so I just love your story, the things that you saw. I love the way you're using that to give back and to help others. And there's so many nuggets in what you said today that I think will resonate with different people. So really appreciate your vulnerability and coming and hanging out with Amy and I, sharing.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah.
And I'll just put a plug for you. If anyone is interested in working with Stacy, you can go to chooserecoveryservices.com. She does see individual clients, coaching, and then therapy in Idaho.
Yes.
And she also runs divorce support groups. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And for all of our listeners, as always, thanks for hanging out with us. And we look forward to seeing you all next week.
Thank you.
Are you faced with one of life's toughest decisions, whether to stay or go, feeling overwhelmed and unsure of even where to start? Like Stacy and I talked about today, I often get asked as well what my breaking point was that led me to leave, or how did I know it was time? I often choose to respond with, when choosing to leave the marriage meant losing me, I knew it was time to go. Everyone's breaking point is going to be different, but you won't know what yours is when you're disconnected to yourself. I want to help empower women who are in this space to become the decision maker in their life by helping to connect back towards them. After all, none of you chose the circumstances that led you here, but all of you have the power to shape your future. So with this Divorce 101 guide, I slow down the process and really take it one step at a time. Starting with awareness, you're putting down the actual decision making and becoming more aware of you, gathering some information that might help you make that decision when you're ready. I walk you through the phases of awareness, acceptance, and agency in this guide. There's workbooks that go with each one of these phases. It's self-paced. You get to take as long as you need to find your next wise step for you right now. So when you've exhausted all other options, check out my Divorce 101 guide and start there. Because no matter what you do, let it lead to choosing to heal, choosing recovery, and to choosing you. Take care, everybody. Thank you.